And right now it's time to talk health matters. And we talk to the Heart and Stroke Foundation on a Tuesday at this time. And today talking to Sister Joandre Watson from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Sister Watson, good morning and welcome to the show. And thank you very much for taking time to chat to us today. And just stand by. There we go. Okay, right. Now I've got you live and loud and clear. Yeah, thank you very much for taking time to chat. And Sister, today we're talking about cholesterol and its impact, obviously, on our health. But to start off with, just to clear the air, what exactly is cholesterol?
Yes, so cholesterol is a soft, fatty substance in the blood, which plays an important role in cell membranes to manufacture many hormones and bile for digestion. Now, most of the cholesterol in the body is manufactured in the liver, and then it's transported by the blood to the rest of the body. Now, some foods we eat from animal sources contain cholesterol, and this is referred to as dietary cholesterol. Mm-hmm.
And are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. No. I thought we'd lost you for a moment. And Sister, why are high cholesterol levels dangerous? I think that's the million-dollar question, because you hear about it in adverts for various products, food products, and it's all about cholesterol. Now, why are the high levels so dangerous?
Yes. So everyone has cholesterol in their blood. But too much cholesterol increases the risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. Now, high cholesterol levels can slowly build up, cause a buildup of cholesterol and other waste products on the inner walls of your arteries. Now, if left unchecked, it can eventually form plaques, which are thick, hard deposits that can narrow arteries and make them less flexible. Mm. Now, this process is what we call atherosclerosis. Now, if a clot forms and blocks a narrowed artery that feeds either the heart or the brain, this can then result in a heart attack or a stroke. And high cholesterol is one of the most important risk factors for cardiovascular disease.
Right. Now, you hear the term being bandied about, good and bad cholesterol. There's obviously a balance between the two.
So, if we're talking about good and bad cholesterol, cholesterol is transported from the liver to the rest of the body. And that cholesterol is called, or is carried in transporters called low-density lipoproteins, also known as LDL. And a different transporter, which is called the high-density lipoprotein, or HDL, collects the cholesterol from the rest of the body and the blood vessels and returns it to the liver. Uh-huh. Now, because of levels of LDL cholesterol are associated with heart disease, it is often called bad cholesterol. Okay. And HDL basically cleans the blood vessels of the cholesterol and is therefore commonly referred to as good cholesterol. Now, blood cholesterol tests often, also include a triglyceride test, which is the measure of the amount of fat that is being transported in the blood, which could be from fatty food that was recently eaten, or from fat production in the liver. Now, high fasting levels of triglycerides in the blood increase the risk of heart disease and strokes. And now looking at, the difference between your bad and your good cholesterol, obviously you want less of the bad, which is your LDL, and more of your HDL.
Which is the good one. And getting on to physical and lifestyle risk factors for high cholesterol. Obviously, what you eat and what you do or don't do is a big factor here.
Yes, yeah. So, there are various physical and lifestyle factors that can actually increase the likelihood of developing high blood cholesterol. Now, being aware of these risk factors will help you to identify the changes which are necessary to lower your risk. Now, some of these risk factors actually include eating too much saturated fat, also medical conditions such as underactive thyroid gland or chronic kidney failure. Another big one is family history. So if a parent or a grandparent had high cholesterol, this trait can be inherited. Now, some people have naturally very high blood cholesterol levels due to a rare hereditary condition called familial hypercholesterolemia.
Okay.
Now, if one family member is diagnosed with this, it is vitally important that all the members of the family have a full fasting lipogram, or basically cholesterol tests, done to test if they also have this condition.
Right.
Another thing that really impacts is a massive risk is your physical activity and physical inactivity, which is more important. Also being overweight or obese, especially around the middle or the tummy area, being overweight increases your chances of having abnormal cholesterol levels. So people with type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome often have low HDL or good cholesterol levels and elevated triglyceride or fat levels.
Okay.
You know, naturally, drinking too much alcohol and smoking.
All the normal ones.
Yeah,
the usual culprits. And Sister Watson, how can cholesterol levels be lowered?
Yeah, so depending on obviously your individual risk profile, so like the risks that I've just mentioned, a doctor might recommend medication or first making lifestyle changes. Now, whether someone is started on medication or not, diet, physical activity, and lifestyle changes are critical. So obviously, first step, get active. Be physically active for at least 150 minutes per week, which is basically 30 minutes five times a week, by doing moderate aerobic activity. This also helps to increase your good HDL cholesterol levels and reduce your fat levels in the blood. You're smoke-free. Quit smoking and avoid secondhand smoke as well. And this will help particularly for low HDL levels. Very importantly, weight loss. So even if you lose 2.5 kgs, you know, in the event that you are obese or overweight, it already starts to improve your blood cholesterol levels.
Okay.
Another thing would be reducing your alcohol intake. Then naturally, your diet. So if we're looking at reducing your total carbohydrate intake, especially your refined carbohydrates like white bread, white rice, pastries, sweets, and biscuits. Then also limiting your sugars, such as your sweets, your sweet and soft drinks, fruit juices, and sweetened dairy products. And then naturally we needed to replace that with, you know, good fats.
Right.
So like your omega-3 fats, which are naturally found in fish, such as sardines or pilchards, even salmon, which can be at least eaten twice a week. And then, you know, plant products such as walnuts, flaxseed, canola are also good sources. You may also be recommended, some medical professionals also recommend omega-3 supplements. And then obviously we also need to reduce the intake of saturated fat. So, you know, when someone says, oh no, you need to go on a cholesterol diet, they usually include saturated fat in that diet to remove, you know, basically by replacing those fats with, let's say, avocado, olive oil, nuts and seeds.
Okay. Sort of, in other words,
lastly,
good fats.
If need, yeah, good fats. But, you know, lastly, we do have to include medication. So sometimes, obviously, medication is recommended. And these medications, what we call statins, basically reducing the amount of cholesterol produced in the liver, if total and LDL, which is your bad cholesterol levels as well.
Right, right. And that's not the ideal way. So obviously, if you want to, you know, your first attempt should probably be diet and lifestyle and all the things that go along with it.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, if you just have a possibility of a risk, mm-hmm. by adopting these behavior changes, you know, will automatically reduce your risk, so that when you do go for your regular checkups, you'll actually find that your cholesterol levels are fine. It's because you're already adapting, you know, or adopting these healthy behaviors. But, you know, obviously, when it happens that you do have high cholesterol, and if it's consistently high, a doctor may recommend medication.
Right, right. And Sister Watson, the Heart and Stroke Foundation has a lot of resource material available. Where can people find this information, and how do they go about contacting the Heart and Stroke Foundation?
So they may contact us or look at our information on our website, which is www.heartfoundation.co.za. They could also contact us on our chat line, which is 021-422-1586.
Right. And that's your the offices, and they can then access everything and ask people questions and discuss their problems.
Yes, naturally.
Great. Well, thank you very, very much for the chat, and thanks for taking time to chat to us today, as the Heart and Stroke Foundation does every Tuesday at this time. And Sister Watson, thanks very much for chatting, and we'll chat to either you or Kinza next week. I know Kinza's on leave at the moment. So we'll roll the dice next week and see who comes up to chat.
No, that's fabulous. Thanks for having me. It's been an honor.
Thank you very much. Take care and have a great day. Cheerio then. It's Sister Watson from the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And don't forget, this chat will be on our website later today as well.